morning. Today we are going to be talking about hearing the Lord. And but before we start today, I want us just to talk a little bit how hearing and listening has become kind of a lost art in our community. There's so much noise, there's so much clatter around us that we think we cannot function without it. We see couples sitting at tables, texting, reading, daydreaming, talking on the phone, having nothing to say to one another, maybe unable to communicate anymore. We're raising a generation that crowds out hurts and pains with noise and pills and anything that will stop the voice inside them. If a conversation is going on, people are checking their phones, more interested in the text message than the conversation that's taking place. I was praying with some people the other day, and one of the participants was texting while we were praying. Some people cannot go to sleep unless the television is on. Kids in the car have headphones stuck in their ears. When they're little, we have the television on in the car for them to watch so they won't bother us. Nobody's talking. Nobody's listening. And I'm sure we could think of many other things today, many other scenarios, how life is filled with so much noise that sometimes we forget to listen. I deal with in divorce care all the time. People come to divorce care and their husbands have left or their wives have left, and they might have said to them, you know, we just didn't have anything to say to each other anymore. No one was listening. Didn't you hear what I was saying? So I think one of Satan's biggest things today, he wants to capture our ears. And so we need to learn today about guarding our ears and learning how to listen again. God gave us ears to hear. Today we have many voices that cry out to hear, you know, to capture our ears. We have television, radio, music, internet, you know, past experiences sometimes call out to us, and they all want to capture our ears. That is why in Scripture we read so much about the subject of listening. You know, it says that the average Christian spends 4 hours at least a day watching TV and maybe 10 minutes with God. So what do we think has the most influence in our life, if that is the case? Is that why we don't hear God's voice more in our lives? On the mountain, when Peter, James, and John are with Jesus and he's being transfigured, God the Father speaks to them and he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. Listen to him." Times have not changed. God is still saying that the most important thing that you can do on earth is to listen to him and do what he tells you to do. You may be here today and you may be like me and you've really forgotten how to listen. You're great on the asking side of prayer, but somehow the listening side has seemed unapproachable to you and too daunting even to embrace. Maybe you think you're too lowly and God is too great to even consider such a relationship. Maybe there are times you felt God spoke to you, but they've been few and far between. The gulf seems too great to cross, and you feel lucky even to have time for the asking side of prayer. Let's look at some scripture this morning with Zechariah and Mary. I want us to begin to look how God began to speak to these people. Luke 1, we're going to look at, and it's in your notebook. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. I'm not going to say too much about incense, but incense was the picture of prayer. You know, that's what incense was. So, and when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son, and you're going to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. And many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered why he had stayed so long in the temple. You remember they tied a rope around his leg, because if you did something wrong in the instructions that God gave you, you died in there. So they kept the rope in case. And obviously, I'm thinking someone had to die for them to think to do this, you know. So, you know, I'm sure they're thinking he's been in there a long time. I wonder, you know, did he do something wrong, or we have to pull him out, or what's going on? So when he came out, though, he couldn't speak. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this to me," she said. "In these days, he has shown me favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." I want us to notice as we looked at this that Zechariah was in the presence of the Lord when this happened. And does that mean that that's the only time God is going to speak to us when we're in those quiet times? No. But you know, when we quiet ourselves, it's easier to hear his voice. And I think when he wants to say something profound to us, like he said to Zechariah, you know, we need those times when we're in seclusion and we're listening to his voice. God speaks to us many times when we don't expect it. Are there times, I've tried to plan when God would speak to me. I don't know if you've ever done that. Have you ever tried to do that? I've tried to plan. Okay, God, here I am, just speak to me. And sometimes it's in, you know, and I can sit there for a long time and maybe I don't hear anything. And then those times I come and I'm just worshiping him and I'm not thinking about it at all, all of a sudden, you know, that word comes. And that's kind of where Zechariah was. He had done that, you know, he'd done this many times before, gone into the presence of the Lord, and nothing had ever happened there before. But that's why we keep going, you know, because there are those times when, even if we don't hear his voice, sometimes there are those times, you know, when God comes and says something astounding that changes our life forever. So he speaks to him, and at first, you know, he was overwhelmed and he was afraid, you know. Sometimes when God comes and speaks things to us, we're so anxious. Aren't we always so anxious to hear his voice? And then he says something to us and we go, "Oh, really?" You know? And I think that's where Zechariah was, you know? And and we may have even given up, like Zechariah. You know, he was amazed. They must have been praying for a child for a long time. Just like Abraham was, you know, and finally the angel comes to him and says, "Okay, Zechariah, the time is right, you know, I've heard your prayer and I'm going to answer it." And he says, "Is that really you, God?" You know? And sometimes we do that too, you know, don't we? "Is that really you, God? How can I be sure this time? I have prayed for so long, you know, are you sure it's you?" You know, and everything in the natural realm said to Zechariah that what would take place would be impossible. And he forgot, you know, and sometimes we forget that with God, nothing is impossible. And God comes to give us good news. And he just wants us to rejoice, to receive his word and rejoice. But isn't Satan there every time saying, did God really say that to you? And sometimes, like Zechariah, he has to shut our mouths while he's working to keep us out of the way. And sometimes we have to see it to believe it, you know. Maybe he didn't believe all the way until he saw his wife pregnant. Now let's look at Mary's encounter. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you." And just like us, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what the greeting might be. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own old age, and she was said to be barren, but she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. So notice, when God spoke to her initially, she was troubled, you know. How could God come and say the impossible to her? She was a virgin. How was she going to give birth to a child? But he spoke to her in the impossible in the natural realm, and it becomes possible in the spiritual realm. We choose to believe God when he speaks to us rather than sometimes our circumstances. And she stood in the place and she said, "I am your servant," the place that God wants us to be when we hear his voice. "I am your servant, Lord." Now, I think Mary was probably a little concerned after it was all over, because if we read in verse 39, she got ready and she hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zacharias' house to see Elizabeth. She wanted to know whether she really, was this really from God, you know? And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." You know, she needed that confirming word from somebody else. And so she says, "Thank you, Lord, that you told me, you know, that you confirmed this to my spirit. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And I tell you this morning, the mighty one has done great things for you and will do great things for you. And holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. Sometimes we forget how great our God is. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful, and to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Mary needed someone to confirm that what she had heard was true. So she hurried to see Elizabeth, and God confirmed his message to her, and she responded with praise, overcome, that God could use her. And Mary stayed 3 months with Elizabeth, someone who shared her vision. She surrounded herself with people who had faith, and before she went home to deal with her next impossible circumstances. I know you may be saying this morning, I'm not Elizabeth, I'm not Mary, and you're right. But you know what? God gave them a specific job to accomplish, and it all centered around hearing God's voice and responding to it. And God has a specific job for you and for me to accomplish, and it all hinges on hearing his voice and responding. Will we stop God's purposes in the world if we don't respond? No, of course not. If you are not willing to hear his voice, he will find someone that will respond. But I don't think that's what any of us want. Does hearing God's voice and purpose for our lives mean a free ride without complications? No. Look at Mary's. God was working in her life and brought many complications, as we would think about it. I would think the woman chosen by God to birth the Savior would have a free ride, but we know that was not so. She had to go back to Joseph, her fiancé, and God had to speak to him supernaturally because he was going to put her away. She had to travel to Bethlehem, very pregnant, and give birth to the Son of God in a stable. Then once they got there, they had to flee to Egypt because already someone was trying to kill the son that God had sent into the world. Satan always wants us to look not at the supernatural things God is doing in our lives, not how he's speaking to us. He wants to get our eyes on the circumstances that may be difficult. Life is not easy, and yes, Satan will work with all of his might to keep us from accomplishing God's purpose in our lives. Hearing brings a huge responsibility because it requires a decision. Will I follow God or will I not? Now let's look at some other scriptures, and we talked about it this morning in worship, you know. Everything is based on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, because you don't listen to someone you don't love. You may talk to them and you may hope to get something out of the relationship, but you won't listen and respond if you're there for only the perks, you know. We have to really know him and seek him to hear his voice. And you know, sometimes life and death depend upon us hearing his voice. Deuteronomy 30 says, "Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." If you're here this morning and you know Jesus, the Lord is your life. And you get the privilege of choosing life. You get the privilege every day of saying, I will listen to what you have to say to me today. And will not only bless you, but it'll bless your family. The Lord says, today, hear my voice. I was reminded of the parenting process with our kids. You know how frustrating it is to tell a child to do something, small things like pick up your socks and put them in the hamper. They don't want to pick up the socks, and they don't want to put them in the hamper. What happens to the child who refuses to pick up the socks? If we're parenting correctly, the child will pick up the socks. It is not an option, because we know that if the child does not learn to obey our voice, they will not learn to obey God's voice. It is also training. They need to know that when we speak to them, they need to respond. Their life may someday depend upon hearing our voice. We see a car coming and we yell, stop. Is it because we want our way? No, it's because we want our child safe And do we punish them when they don't, when they disobey? Of course you do. You love them and you want them safe. God, in the same way, wants you to hear his voice. Not tomorrow, today. It may be just training that God speaks something to you, or it may save your life today. This is his message. Listen to my voice and let me lead you in a path that will keep you safe. You know, I was reading Leviticus this week. It was the story of Aaron's son who disobeyed God. They went in to make a sacrifice, and they didn't do it the way God told them to do, and they died. You know, sometimes we have to remember that decisions in our life bring life or death. You know, not always physical life and death, but words we can say can bring death to somebody who's sitting in the words by the, you know, in our life by the way we say them to them. There are a lot of ways that our decisions bring life and death. Not always physical death, but it can happen. So we need to be careful that we listen to the voice of God, because he's the one that's, he wants to speak to us and breathe life as we hear his voice. Now, we have a choice when we listen. We can listen to his voice. You know, Psalms and Hebrews both say, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. We all want to hear his voice until he says something we don't like or we don't want to do. I've really been trying hard to hear his voice and respond, but I've recognized a rebellious streak in me that I didn't know existed. God has been speaking small things like get out of bed and begin to write. I checked my email first. Was that terrible? No, but it was a power struggle, wasn't it? I was going to do what I wanted to do first. Don't we see that in our kids and grandchildren sometimes too? The power struggle that takes place every day. We want to do it in our time, in our way. And when we finally do it, we want to feel like we're in control. I'm going to share that later. So wise people listen. We all want to be wise and make good decisions, but we can't be unless we choose to listen. And the distractions of the world can keep us from listening. Mary sat at the feet of the Lord listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. One of Satan's biggest goals in our lives is to keep us so busy and so distracted from the important things of life that we spend our existence running in circles, accomplishing absolutely nothing. To have anything worthwhile to say, we have to hear from the Father. Remember Jesus, he took times to go away and to listen. And he says, you know, the scripture tells us over and over that he only heard the things that the Father spoke to him. How important it is that we learn to listen. The job of the sheep, that's in our job description. The job of the sheep is to listen. You know, John says that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And fellowship begins with hearing. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. We talked about that a little bit last week in fellowship. We become friends by listening, fellowshipping, and sharing our innermost thoughts and feelings. Sometimes we worry about having earthly friends, but we have the opportunity to develop a friendship with God. Can we pass that up and really live? Listening demands a response. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. You must do what it says. God does not speak to be heard. God speaks to be obeyed. Obedience is the key that keeps the door of communication open between you and God. In the short run, it may appear that our way is best, but in the long run, when we fall on our faces, we recognize that obedience would have given us access to his supernatural power. We will have fewer times of looking like a fool, too, if we learn to listen before we speak. James tells us that everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Our job is to listen, to obey, and to follow Jesus and his plans. We give up our way and we adopt his plans, and therefore get the privilege of being a part of what God is doing on earth. Remember, if God speaks to you, you always have something worthwhile to say because he has the words of life. Now, not only must we listen, but we must make a conscious effort to remember what he says to us. Proverbs 3 says, "My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart, for they will give you a long and satisfying life." Proverbs 4 says, "Pay attention, my child, to what I have to say. Listen carefully and don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep in your heart, for they're going to bring you life and radiant health. And above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." And this is kind of, we've talked a little bit about it before, but I want to emphasize it again, where journaling comes in for me. You know, if God speaks to you, treasure what he has to say. Don't take for granted that next week you're going to remember what he told you to do, you know. God speaks to us many times during the day, and so I encourage you, even if you've never journaled before, when you hear God speak to you, begin to write down and listen to what he says. If you remember the Jewish culture, one great thing that they always did was they recorded everything God did so they could pass not only that history on to their children, but as a reminder when things were rough, you know, he brought us through the Red Sea. You know, when they're in the desert, you know, they needed to be reminded of how, of God's provision sometimes when they didn't see provision ahead of them. They were worried about water, they were worried about food, all these things. They forgot the one who opened the Red Sea for them was going to take care of them. So we need to write these things down, and we need to share them with our children, because we share the words of life with them. If they never hear that God is working in our lives, how do they know? How do they know? Do they get this by osmosis? No. You know, we have to share it with them. So sometimes we think, you know, if the Red Sea doesn't part in our lives, that we have nothing to say. But every day God does something in your life, and he may speak to you in a small way. We need to treasure what he says to us, you know, no matter how big or how small. And that's our next thing. We're to treasure his instructions. Proverbs says, "My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions." You have to tune your ears to wisdom, and you have to concentrate on understanding. You have to cry out for insight and understanding, and you have to search for them as you would for lost money or a hidden treasure. And then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you'll gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants great wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Do we treasure what he says to us, or have we become calloused and nonchalant to the fact that the God of the universe wants to commune with us? Let us treasure and capture what he says to us. Hearing and knowing God's voice will keep us from going astray. Deuteronomy 13 says, "Suppose there are prophets among you, or those who have dreams about the future, and they promise you signs or miracles, and they predict signs or miracles to take place. And if that prophet then says, 'Come, and let us worship the gods of foreign nations,' do you listen to him? The Lord your God is testing you to see if you will love him with all your heart and soul. Serve only the Lord your God, and fear him alone, and obey his commands, and listen to his voice, and cling to him. Matthew 7:21 says that not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as their Lord, but they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. You know, and I'm reminded, I think as we get in these last times, you know, I hear people worried, well, you know, am I going to be one of those that overcomes, you know? Or am I going to succumb to believing a lie? And that's where hearing and knowing God's voice keeps us from going. We listen to his voice. We cling only to him. There will be those in the last days who do miraculous things. If you remember, when Moses goes before Pharaoh, the first three miracles that take place, the serpent laying the staff down and it becoming a serpent, you know, the water into blood, and I can't remember what the third one was, but they were able to duplicate, you know, some of the miracles. And that's what's going to lead people astray in the last days, you know, is we're going to see miraculous things happen. But the disciples' issue is whether they obey the Father, you know. And we must listen to his voice and know his word so that that doesn't happen to us. Obedience to God's command has always been the path to blessing in our lives, individually and corporately as a nation. Isaiah 48 says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good and leads you along the paths that you should follow. He says to Israel, oh, that you would have had listened to my commands. Then, if you would have done that, you would have had peace flowing like a river and righteousness rolling like the waves. But you have become deaf and blind to me. Why won't you listen? Why do you refuse to see? Who in all the world is as blind as my own people, my servant? Who is as deaf as my chosen people, the servant of the Lord? You see and understand what is right, but you refuse to act on it. You hear, but you don't really listen. Jeremiah says, and this is what I told them, if you obey me, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Only do as I say, and all will be well. But my people, they wouldn't listen to me. They kept on doing whatever they wanted, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backwards instead of forwards, and from the day your ancestors left Egypt until now, I've continued to send my prophets day in and day out, but my people have not listened to me or even tried to hear. They have been stubborn and sinful, even worse than their ancestors. Do we want our paths to be clear? Do we want peace in our lives? Do you see and understand and yet refuse to act on what God says to us? Are we observers only in the kingdom of God? Do we want things to be well in our lives, or are we full of stubborn desires that keep us from moving forward? Do we take the time that's required to listen? Is our light hidden? Are we the light of the world because we've listened to what the Father said? Listen so that you can shine and dispel the darkness that's around you. Wise people listen. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. And though the rain comes in torrents, and the flood waters rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse, because it's built on the rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds their house on the sand, and the rains come, and the floods come, and the winds beat against that house, but it falls with a mighty crash. We have to decide whose voice we really want to hear, the voice of the world or the voice of God. I know that initially we would all say that we want to listen to the voice of God, but we may need to ask ourselves, is that the same as we practice every day in our lives? Who gets most of our attention? If we were to write down the hours of the day and what captured our attention, how would that look? Who in the quiet hours of our day, you know, gets our attention? I know many of us would say exhaustion, sleep, leave me alone, you know, I'm doing my best. Unfortunately, we can't do our best if we don't hear from God and we don't let Him come and refresh us and give us hope for tomorrow. Depending on the season of life, time and circumstances will change. But spending time with God can never change. We must always make a way. Now, I'm in a different spot than a lot of you because I'm retired. So I've been really fortunate. I mean, I rejoice each day. I spend usually 3 hours every morning just in the Word and prayer. And it seems like 5 minutes to me, you know. Some of you have small children, and as soon as you wake up, they're, Mommy, Mommy, I want breakfast, you know. And some of you are getting up and going to work. And so the challenge is a little different for each of us in the time of life that we're in. And making time, you know, can be a challenge to us. Because small children sometimes don't go to bed at night, and when they are in bed, you're exhausted. You know, so we have to be a little bit creative sometimes, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in our study about how to be creative in bringing God into our everyday life when you don't have, like me, those 3 hours to sit in bed and drink your coffee and read and pray. I know you're all jealous, you know. So, but I want to say that the scriptures we looked at in Matthew 7, you know, the storms of life come to both people, you know. We just choose where we build our house. If we build our house on the rock and we hear and we respond to what He says, we're safe when the storms of life come. If we hear what He has to say and we don't do what He says, then we've built our house on the sand. And when the storms come, we wonder why we're in such deep trouble sometimes. God continually sent prophets to Israel to warn them of the disaster that awaits those who do not listen to the Lord. If you read the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, the prophets had the same thing to say to them. You don't listen. To the very end, God called them to repent and to listen, so that He would not have to bring judgment on His chosen people. And God still says today, He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Pray that God will give you ears to hear what He's saying to you this morning. Make up your mind to pay attention to what God is saying and then respond to Him. If you're not hearing, you've probably stopped listening, paying attention, or doing what He told you to do. I can tell you, if God has spoken something to you and you haven't done it, do it, and then God will speak to you again. I'll just share this little experience. The Lord told me to do something, and it took me a long time to do it because it was out of my comfort zone. It wasn't something I wanted to do. I was afraid of what people might think of me, so I struggled to do it. So I went and did it, except one part of what He told me to do. So I came home and I was feeling so good, I thought, I did it, you know, there was this relief on my heart. And then the Lord said to me, but you didn't do everything I told you to do. And He said, I want you to go back. And I said, I don't want to go back. And He said, so we argued. I bet I didn't sleep for a week because I was sure that God was going to relent and say to me, okay, you did so good just doing part of what I told you to do. You don't have to go back, you know. But He didn't, you know. I had to go back. And He had to get a little firm with me, you know. He said, if you don't go, I'll send somebody else. And I had to say, oh, Lord, don't send somebody else. Here am I, Lord. Send me. So I'm just saying to you this morning, if God's told you something to do, you know, just do it. It brings such sweet peace afterwards. You know, I thought, really, who cares what these people thought? Was that more important than doing what God told you to do? And I can tell you, it turned out to be a blessing to the people too, you know. If you just are obedient to what God tells you to do, it brings such joy to your heart and it touches so many people around you. So I hope your response will be this morning, Lord, here am I, send me. God speaks, you know, to many ways to us. He speaks to us through His Word, and mainly, I think, through His Word. That's why it's so important every day that we're in His Word, because that's the main way He speaks to us. He sent the Word to give us instruction, to correct us, to guide us, to deliver us, to give us hope. All those things are in His Word. Now, He doesn't just speak through His Word, but I don't think we ever will hear the voice of God clearly if we're not in His Word, because that's the main way He speaks to us. But He does speak to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through other people. And that still small voice inside that sometimes we try to drown out. God is always speaking. We just need to make sure that we hear and recognize, no matter where it comes from. When your child or husband calls you, you don't have to ask who's calling on the phone. Why? Because you have a relationship and you talk to them often. You know their voice. The same is true with God. The more time you spend with Him, the more you will come to know His voice. And when He calls, you will recognize Him. Now we have three choices when we listen to what we can do. Because of inattention, we can fail to hear what God is saying at all. The cares of the world can crowd out His voice. Or maybe hearing His voice is just not that important to us. Or number two, because we don't like what He's had to say, we can ignore it or refuse to obey it. It's easy to obey when we hear something we like. The real test comes when we hear something that is not easy, and we do it anyway. You know, I still think of Beth Moore, you know. I don't know if you saw the video, but she's in the airport, and God speaks to her and says, "You see that old man that's sitting over there? I want you to go comb his hair." You know, and she says, "I'm not combing his hair. I'm not combing his hair," you know. And the more she sits there, you know, the more intense, of course, God is speaking to her and say, "Go comb that old man's hair," you know. And she argues with Him for a long time. But eventually, she goes to the old man and she combs his hair. And he begins to sob. And he said, he's going to meet someone very special. And he was so worried about the way he looked. You know, and isn't that us? Sometimes we're so worried about the way we're going to look that we don't touch that person next to us who's just waiting for us to come and do what God told us to do. So I encourage you this morning. I don't think He's going to have you go to the airport. You know, don't panic. But you know, the more we get to hear His voice, you know, the more things He's going to speak to you. And it stretches us, because we have to learn to hear His voice in all circumstances. So I'm hoping that when you hear today, that you respond to what He says to you. So here are just a few suggestions that I have for you. When God wants to talk, stop and listen. Don't say, "After I put the laundry in the wash, after I watch my favorite TV program, after I run this errand, I'll listen, God, to what You have to say." Don't try to fit God into your schedule and hope He fits. And I want to just make sure I clarify this. I think you have to make a schedule to fit God in. You have to make time, particularly in our busy schedules. If you work, if you have small children, you have to set aside that time. But I'm saying to you, what I'm saying this morning is, when God nudges you and says, I need to speak to you, you know, that you make that time. When you feel he's calling, don't wait. God is not on our schedule. We're to be on his schedule. Don't say, now I'm ready to listen. I've got all the important things done in my life today. God doesn't want our leftover minute. It's like telling your daughter, I'm really busy right now, and what I'm doing is more important than what you have to say, so I'll talk to you later. Does that conversation ever happen? Sometimes when I'm driving, I pull off to the side of the road to write something down that I feel that God has said to me. So no matter where you are, you know, nothing is more important than hearing what God has to say to you. And this next one, if the president or Oprah Winfrey, I don't know why I picked these two people, but anyway, if they called to talk to you, you know, would you tell your husband, tell him to take a message. You know, really, I'm busy right now. I don't have time to talk to you, Mr. President. God is bigger than any of those people in our lives. And he wants to have the rightful place. He doesn't want us to tell him, I'm too busy. Could you call me back later? Take that time at the stoplight. You know, those of you who have small children and you're trying to fit in your day, that time to pray. Take that time at the stoplight, you know, to quit complaining how long the light is and begin to pray for your children, you know. Have your Bible, your prayer list in your purse so when you're stuck in that doctor's office or you're stuck somewhere, you can use that time productively. Talk to him when you're vacuuming. But when he speaks to you, stop and write down what he says so you don't forget. Be respectful to God speaking to you. Don't expect God to continue to talk to you if you haven't responded to what he told you to do earlier. Do what he told you to do, and then he will speak to you again. The most important thing, and we could talk about a lot of ways that you can incorporate in your life. You know, sometimes when I'm driving, you know, if I'm on a long trip and I stop at that stop sign, I say, Lord, help me stop and remember you today. When I see that yield sign, I said, Lord, help me yield to you today in all that I do. You know, turn off that radio when you're driving the car and make it a quiet time to hear his voice. God knows, particularly for busy mothers with small children and all those things, that it's hard sometimes to get. You have to be really ingenious in making those times where you can be quiet from the Lord. It may be going in the bathroom and hiding for a while, you know. You know, we have to think it, and it's not sacrilegious to go and, you know, God knows you go to the bathroom, you know. So all those things, you know, we have to be creative sometimes in the way we bring God into our lives. So let's ask today that God will give us ears to hear and our heart to respond in obedience. There is nothing in life that is more exciting than hearing God's voice. And I want you to wake up in the morning so excited that to hear from God and to talk to him that nothing else in your life is more important. I want you to say like Samuel, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you that you're calling us to set aside all the other voices that are calling to us that want to get our attention, Lord, to listen to you. So, Lord, I'm praying for myself and for each lady that is here this morning that you will touch her ears, that you will give her ears to hear, that you will help her be creative, those that are busy with small children and working long hours. Lord, I pray that you'll give them creative ways to make time to listen to what you have to say. And Lord, I pray that we not only listen, because it's wonderful to listen, but if we don't do what you tell us to do, the whole point of listening is void. So Lord, I pray that not only we'll have ears to hear, but we'll have willing hearts that will obey you so that we can bring the kingdom of God to those around us. Thank you, Father, that you love us enough that you want to speak to us. We are so grateful to you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We bless you today. In Jesus' name, amen.